Hey, hello, folks. Welcome to the call. This is Susan Baracco. So nice to see you folks here. If you would do me a favor, just type in the chat, say hello, so that I know that you can hear me and that everything's working fine. It is a cool, rainy Wednesday where I am. And hopefully it's nicer where you guys are. Peter, welcome. I see that Peter is here. Thanks for joining us. Ilhan, thanks for being here. Joanne, glad you're on the call. Hey, Peter, thanks for piping in. Hey, Joanne, here for the first time? Oh, that's right. Welcome. Another brand new one. Welcome, welcome. That's exciting. Well, we're going to wait just a few minutes while people continue to join. Hopefully, we'll have a few more people on. And in the meantime, what we start with, for those of you who are new, is we start with a fun question. Yeah, Ilhan, can you hear me? Peter says he hears me. Thank you for letting me know. So what we start with is a just for fun question. So if you care to share, feel free to type into the chat. That's just something to let us get to know each other a bit. All right, David. Hey, welcome, David. Glad you've joined us. I think David is new to the program also, so welcome if you are. Joanne says her favorite holiday family tradition is making a big dinner and eating it. What time should I be there? Close second is baking and decorating cookies. Yeah, that's actually why I like Thanksgiving. I think it's my favorite holiday. We have a fancy dinner and it's just fun to visit and no pressure, no gifts, no stuff, you know, just sit and eat and relax and enjoy the company of wonderful people. So yeah, I hear you. And Ilhan says Mr. Bean episodes on CBC. It sounds like a fun thing. I actually enjoy watching here in the US they have the big parade in New York City, and I actually enjoy watching. That's kind of fun while I cook and get food ready. Hey David, thanks for chiming in down there. So what we do for those of you who are new to the program and perhaps a first call, is I walk through a couple of different questions to get us started, and then we launch into question and answer session. And what we do, each slide that I'm sharing with you has some instructions on it for how to respond. So this is pretty carefree here, you know, it's fairly casual the way we approach it. We do have structure to keep it fair in case we have a lot of people on the call and with lots of questions. One thing I encourage everyone to do, regardless of if you've been here for a while and been on a number of calls or fairly new, is to participate, is to share your ideas in the chat box, to contribute. It's the best way for not only for you to learn, but for all of us to share our knowledge and to benefit from that sharing of that knowledge. So don't be shy. All right. Let's dive in today. And I like to start off, Ed and I always start these calls off with a win. We want to hear what's gone well for you. It could be in the last week or so. And it doesn't have to be anything major. If something that you've accomplished, type in a capital W in the chat and let me know what your win has been so that we can all celebrate with you. And so also a reminder that this call is recorded. If you are not able to come during a particularly scheduled call, you can also listen to the recording that'll be posted usually the day after, providing we don't have any technical difficulties. If for some reason you want to go back and listen to it again or that kind of thing, it gets put into the library. So All right, Ilhan's first out of the gate here. He's got a win. He got his website up with updated copy. Congratulations. It's a bit of work, isn't it? It can take a little bit of time. And I know when you're anxious and want to get things rolling, it can feel like it's some heavy lifting, that's for sure. It's tough to write about yourself. And that's part of why we like to help people by reviewing it. Took most of the week. I bet it did. I bet it did. And what we like to say when it comes to the websites is, Peter, your win is you submitted your first web copy draft for review. Great. Congratulations. Congratulations. Joanne finished the game plan update submission for Ed's feedback. Yes, I'm off to a slow start. Doesn't matter. Slow is still better than no activity at all. I always say small steps are still steps. So good for you. But getting back to websites, just for all of you, and especially those who are, I know a couple of you are newer to the program, is that don't wait until your website is perfect, because it probably never will be. You want to get it as close to good as you possibly can so that you're reasonably satisfied, submit it for review, go back and edit, and then just get it out. Get it up and out. So a lot of times what happens with websites in particular, if you're, you know, maybe you're trying to break into a new target market, something that you don't have a lot of experience in, or something along those lines, maybe this is all new for you. What you'll find is that as you start interacting with your prospects and hearing from them, you're going to start to learn from them, and you're going to learn what's important to them, what their real challenges are, those kinds of things. And as you do that, then you can tweak your web copy as you start to learn a little bit more about what's most important to your audience. I say this often, and for those of you who've been on the call before, I apologize, but I think I'm probably on a sixth or seventh iteration of my website, maybe even more. I tweak it. That said, I haven't tweaked it in over a year, but it's something that just, and I've been doing this for going on 7 years now, so it doesn't end the day you get the website up. It's quite the contrary. It's an evolution. You know, thinking of it as developing over time as you get better at what you do, you understand your audience better, all of that will start to come into focus. So don't worry about 100% perfect. You'll probably never get there. Done is better than perfect, as Ed likes to say. I think that's one of his mantras. Awesome. All right, next question I want to ask all of you is, what material are you implementing? And it could be something within the program itself, like some of you are sharing, obviously you're working on your websites, but is there anything else that you're focused on? Maybe from a game plan, something that you're trying, maybe a new approach, anything that you want to share that would be helpful. Peter says, I found watching the reviews of other people's sites very helpful, encouraging me to stop procrastinating. Good for you. Good for you. Joanne says she doesn't have a game plan just yet, but working on her USP. Great. Good, good. Ilhan says, I've been reviewing warm email prospecting, LinkedIn, and now the 1-2-3 LinkedIn strategy. Anxious to get started with them. Absolutely. Yeah, that LinkedIn strategy, it's actually 3-2-1. And it's something it's a training that Ed and I just recorded about a month or so ago. So new training and really cool when you have a chance to get to that. I definitely recommend it because it's a pretty neat kind of a mindset shift about LinkedIn and how to reach out and connect with people in a meaningful way. So good stuff. I think you'll enjoy it. Great. Great, great. And I love, Peter, that you're watching the reviews. What I'm sure you will find is that you'll hear me saying similar things over and over again. And the reason being is that because I see similar, points for clarification on most of the websites and most of the web copy that I review. It's not uncommon that people tend to write, especially if it's the first time you've never really worked on web copy before. You know, the internet has changed so much since it first rolled out and web pages first came on the scene. You know, they were like they were like letters. They were written like letters. There weren't a lot of pictures or images or nothing moved. It was just literally like looking at a sheet of paper with words on it. And that has changed so much since the beginning. And, but you know, it takes a little bit of practice. So I want to encourage everybody to just jump on that, jump on and get going, because the sooner you get your website up and out of the way and get it done, the sooner you can get on to concentrating fully on other things. So, all right. Great. Let me just take a look here. Chuck, welcome. I didn't see you sneak on there. And there's somebody on a phone who's dialed in by phone with a 616 area code. I apologize. I cannot see a name for you, but welcome. Glad you're here. All right, we're going to move on to questions. And I'm hoping that you came ready with a couple of questions. Please don't feel at any point that a question is silly or too simple or anything like that. It's amazing to me when we go back to basics. Sometimes someone will ask a really basic question, how many people comment about how helpful it was, even if they've been in their business for a little while. So start by typing a capital Q in the chat. Very important so that I see that it's a question and I don't miss it. So please do type in a Q. Keep your question focused. Try not to make it too lengthy. And one question per person. We've got a smaller group today, so I'm happy to come back around to you if you have more questions. And if possible, if you could share with us one or two things you might be considering in regards to addressing your issue. And I will bring you on and unmute you if I would like to hear from you, if I need further explanation or background. So if for some reason you can't speak because of either where you are, maybe you're at work, maybe you're in a cafe somewhere, please just, if you think of it, add that in as well. If, yeah, I'm able to speak. But feel free to type in your question. You know, it's interesting because my one of the reasons my website has changed is because I have evolved in my business over the years. I started out, I was working full time when I launched my writing career and got to a point where I was getting pretty burned out and pretty frustrated with trying to do both, and ended up taking one of Ed's courses. And that's when I really started to understand a lot of these concepts that we talk about, that Ed talks about. And that's when I started fine tuning, really understanding that it's okay to have your website go out and not be perfect. Typos aside, it's okay for it to not be perfect. So, hey, Chuck, thank you for the message. Glad you finally got connected. All right, good to know that it's you. All right. Whoops. My. All right. Joanne, thanks so much. You're up first for a question. I need help deciding if and how to dump a client. I'm doing a minimal amount of work for him, and it's very frustrating because his wife is a marketing advisor and overrules my recommendations. I don't feel respected as a professional, and it's a huge energy drain. How to get out of this politely? Great question. Love the dump my lousy clients questions. There's a couple different ways to do it, and you know, it really depends on your situation and you know, what you think makes the most sense. But I would recommend, so the time of year is perfect for this, Joanne, because we're running down to the end of not only 2019, but the decade, which is really fascinating. So I would recommend using that as your reasoning. And you could simply say to this client, I just wanted to let you know, and I would do this soon because December 1st is not that far away. Is to say, I just want to give you notice that I'm taking my business in a new direction. And so I've chosen to shift and pivot in, or, you know, shift into a new direction and a new set of offerings. And so I'm no longer going to be offering the services that I provide to you. And just wanted to give you fair notice that, you know, that my services and my support of your programs will end December 31st, something along those lines. So what I really want to encourage you to do, Joanne, is keep it highly professional and business strategy focused. This is not you and I secretly know that these people are not, this is not a great client for you, but you want to look at it from the standpoint of this is a business decision. This is a strategy and business decision. I'm no longer taking these types of projects and therefore moving on to something bigger and better. And the truth is that even though you might still be doing the kind of work, maybe moving forward, maybe the work that you've been doing, you want to continue to for other clients, what I would recommend is, you know, if they ask, is to turn it into something bigger. So if they say, well, gosh, you mean you're not going to be doing blog articles anymore? Well, no, actually I am, but I'm only going to be doing them in a package environment. So what I mean is that I won't just do blogs for someone. I would also do social media. I would also do web, web copy revision, or maybe case studies, or et cetera, et cetera. So it's no longer going to be like an a la carte type of a menu. That's going to be packages and bundles. And if you'd like me to share, what they look like, I'm happy to do that. But you want to really move into not just a onesie twosie type of thing, but really more strategy. You want to include strategy in your packages. Start thinking about building packages so that you're not just doing, the last thing that I want to see anyone do is take work, if you don't have to, is to avoid taking work that's a huge headache for $100 a month or $200 a month or something like that. I have been there. I understand what that is like. I understand the type of client that you're talking about. And it's fine. They can be whatever they want, but that doesn't mean that you have to be their service provider. So I hope, Joanne, that that's helpful, but really step it up one in terms of your thinking. This is a business decision. It includes strategy. And one of my strategies is to move into bundled packages of services. And so I won't be doing just these isolated things any longer. So that way, hey, if you want, it's an upsell for them. They say, oh, well, we want you to do case studies and white papers. Great. Let's talk about that. So it gives you an opportunity to upgrade that client if they want to go with you. And if not, then thank you very much and you move on. And so just let me know if that helps. But I think that's an easy and professional way to approach a situation that they, like this, that they can't argue with. Like, oh, she's changing her strategy. Okay, nothing we can do about that. All right. Ilhan, you're next. And all right, he's got a question. I've noticed in the warm email prospecting modules that the typical approach is to send an email, then possibly follow up 1 to 2 days with a phone call or letter mailing, and then only follow up again 30 days later. Why don't we try calling them every week? I have a recruiter who is mentoring me on cold outreach, and he's very persistent with his follow-ups. He always says, please feel free to let me know at any time if you don't think it's worthwhile to have a conversation. He leaves a voicemail, sends an email. So one thing that I would caution you about, Ilhan, is that recruiters are very, 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 very different. How many times did I say very? It's a very different environment. I was actually a recruiter for 2 years. I did that before I got into writing for a little while. And so having a phone conversation and being really heavy-handed with the cold calling is it's the way they get their business. It's just the way they reach people. It's pestering them. You're pestering people to a certain degree. And I mean no disrespect. I was a recruiter for a while, so I understand how that industry works. But it does. You're calling every day. Maybe you're calling multiple times a day. And I can tell you that most business owners or marketing directors or whoever you might be calling on that's not going to land on them the same way. So if I'm, as a recruiter, I was making phone calls to two different kinds of people. I was trying to find the talent to put into a position. So it's someone who's probably already looking for a job, maybe, maybe not. And I was also reaching out to the poster of the position. Or the hiring manager to try and get in touch with them. So that's a different environment. They're accustomed to having multiple phone calls and being followed up in this way. What I want you to do, Ilhan, is focus on your client base and think about what are they accustomed to. Because hard sell, I would venture to say that that's not something they're going to be super receptive to. I understand that you're anxious to get moving forward and to land your first client, land multiple clients, and get to work. I completely understand that. What I would instead recommend is that you broaden your list, is that you continue to expand. So maybe your first 20 clients or 50, I'm going to call them not clients, but prospects, maybe your first 50 prospects, you run through this series with them. Then take another set of 20 or 50 prospects, run through the series with them, take another set, run through the series with them, then go back to that very first set and start over again. Now, that doesn't mean that all 50 of those prospects are going to not respond, because what's going to end up happening is that you're going to get some responses. And you might end up lining up some phone calls, and you might, you know, find some work. So the thing is, what I want you to shift your thinking to, what I would recommend is that you shift your thinking to the marathon. This is not a sprint, it's a marathon. The way that you might prospect in the beginning, if you're more anxious and you really want to reach out to a lot of people and get this off the ground, I completely understand that. I respect your decision to do so. But you want to be careful, because this is about relationship building. Recruiters, I'm going to go back to that because you mentioned it. They're very transactional in nature. What we're trying to do is build a relationship that hopefully lasts with the people that we're reaching out to and trying to partner with. I don't want to write one blog for you and then never, I'm not going to go through all that trouble to connect with a prospect for them to say, yeah, write me one article, and then they never want to hear from me again. That's an awful lot of work to put up, to put in to just getting a, you know, a one very transactional type of an interaction. This is about building relationships and really working on, and it takes time. And so that's the one thing that I think you might want to just, you know, be thinking about taking time. Now, if you want to change and modify what Ed recommends in terms of, you know, that messaging, please let me know at any time if you don't think it's worthwhile for us to have a conversation. I guess you could use that, but I would be, you know, I would be careful about being too aggressive in this, in with your clients and with your prospect base, you know, with the folks, your target audience. Just be mindful that it's not something that they are necessarily accustomed to. If you want to shorten that down from 30 days to maybe 15 days, you know, maybe a couple of weeks, you know, I'm fine with that if you want to adjust some of that. But what I would rather see you do is work a subset, a small set of prospects thoroughly, and then move on to another set and another set and another set, and then go all the way back to that first and kind of rotate through again, so that that way it doesn't feel quite so, you know, it doesn't land on them quite the same way. We want to just be mindful that they're probably inundated with lots and lots of requests for their attention. So just think of that, think about that. And I hope that helps. Feel free to type in some other comments if you need more clarification. All right. Joanne said, okay, he's turning down a package. All right, Joanne, I hope that was helpful for what I explained earlier. So David has the next question. This might be a two-part, so feel free to break it up. Do you have any suggestions for how to price in regards to articles versus ebooks versus copywriting versus online courses? Oh my goodness, I've been charging a per word rate for articles and ebooks. With copywriting and online, I've charged a per word rate and an hourly, but I'm not sure which felt more proper. Is there something best practice for this? Also, in your pricing, should you charge per feature or have everything included in that per word, per hour rate, for example, unlimited revisions, SEO? Yes. So one thing that I want to start out by saying, David, is that because all of these things that you're talking about, articles, ebooks, copywriting, online courses, you're talking about very, very, very different animals, right? One from the next, in terms of length, in terms of research, in terms of what you need to do, time spent. What if there's one thing I could recommend to you, David, it's to get away from charging an hourly or per word rate. That's the number one thing that I would encourage you to do, is to stop doing it that way and start charging by the project. One of the things that you're going to do is, so for example, an article, let's take an article for an example. Articles range in length from anywhere from maybe 500 words to 2,000 words, right? Something like that. What I would do is set a bottom line flat project rate. And the reason being is that it covers you with all of those things that you mentioned in your very last paragraph here. Should you charge per feature, everything included, unlimited revisions, SEO, attribution, etc. So that's, you can include all of those things, but have a flat fee. Have a flat fee for the client, for the project. And I'm just going to take a quick look here. I think Ed has a fee agreement. And I think in the under convert quote to win, I'm pretty sure he's got a sample fee schedule. And he and I both agree strongly, I feel strongly about this, is that hourly and per word, those types of things, that's great if you're working with I would say we like to call them order takers. If you're just writing, you're just cranking out blogs for clients and you want to just, you know, crank them out at an hourly rate or something like that, that's fine. But as you start to change your business and transform it and start, you know, the goal here is to make more money, right? That's the bottom line. Do work that you enjoy, write things that you really love to write with for great clients, but also to make more money. So the best way to start moving in that direction is the way that I was talking earlier about Joanne's situation and started to develop packages. So articles might be part of a package. Maybe you do more than just, maybe you do a series of articles. And what you want to do is get away from the hourly rate, because what we want to do is transition the client or the prospect away from the order taker mentality. Like, oh, you're doing that for $50 an hour or $100 an hour? I can find somebody cheaper than that. And if they're price shopping, you don't want to work for them anyway, right? We want to get away from that. We're leveling up our target market so that we're really starting to work with people who take your skill set seriously. And the best way to do that is to start heading in the direction of just leveling up the things that you offer. So let's talk about another thing might be ebooks that you mentioned. Maybe ebooks, if you create a flat rate. And what I usually tell people is that here's my range. So if I'm writing an ebook for someone, somebody says, you know, they want me to write an ebook, my range is anywhere from X to Y in terms of price. And what that includes is it depends on the length of the ebook, the amount of research I'm going to do, if there's any interviewing that I have to conduct in order to gather information, how much information will my client provide. How many revisions will I include in that? I also want to know, how does it fit into your marketing strategy? Do you have a marketing strategy? How is it going to be used? So one of the other things that you want to think about, David, is to start bringing your best strategy ideas to the table, because that also elevates what you do. So you're not just a writer, you're a writer and strategist. You're going to add strategy to everything that you do. So tell me about your marketing strategy. What are you planning in 2020? How do you see this fitting in? What do you want it to do for you? What are the different ways that that you're going to use this particular piece? And you know, what else is going to be connected to it that it needs to work harmoniously with? Like from a strategy perspective, you know, how's it going to work with your social media or maybe your website or other things that you have going on? Is it going to serve as a lead magnet? Is it going to, you know, you really want to understand their strategy. And because what you'll find as you start talking to people about strategy is that they probably, depending on the size of the company, might not have a great strategy. It would be really a great opportunity for you to come in and help them develop one. So I strongly recommend that you starting January 1st, everything that goes out, or you could even start right away, everything that goes out, no longer a per word or per hour price point. It is a project rate. And I hope that that makes sense. All right. So Chuck, next question. We're talking a bit about pricing today anyway, so great timing. One of your biggest hangups has been pricing my services. Can you share any guidance or resources that would help? All right, and Joanne says, I love the pricing questions. Super. Okay. So what I would recommend is to look at Ed's fee agreements. I believe he's got a master fee schedule. Yeah, I'm saying that and then watch it won't be out there. But I thought that there was one. Check the under convert, if you quote to win, how to price your work more profitably. It's a great session. Even if he hasn't assigned it to you, you can go and take a look there. That's where you want to focus in the training portal. Again, it's under convert, quote to win. The first session there is how to price your work more profitably. If you haven't had a chance to look at that, that's where the first place I would send you. But be thinking also about, again, like what we've been talking about is bundling things together. It's like, I'm not just going to crank out a blog for you. I want to understand what you're going to do with that blog. What do you expect it to do? Is it going to work in harmony or in concert with other things in your overall social media and marketing approach? Start thinking about how to price your projects so that you're adding more value. This is about adding value. Writers are a dime a dozen. I can go on Upwork and get 15 quotes in about, I don't know what, 10 minutes maybe for someone to write me an article. That's not what people are looking for necessarily. You want to differentiate yourself from that crowd and create this well-rounded consultant. You know, we talk often, Ed and I talk often when we're doing these different calls and different things online, is to put your consulting hat on, become the consultant. Oh, and by the way, I'm also a writer. So you want to be able to combine those two things to start allowing yourself to realize you bring a lot more value to the table, but you want your prospects to realize, hey, this isn't just someone who's going to walk in and crank out an article and not care about what I'm doing with my business. So that's one of the best ways to start creating more value and feeling more comfortable about charging a little more for what you do. And it takes, again, takes time. So be patient with the process, but go to that training. Sorry. Go to the training that I recommended online and take a look at that and then take it from there. And I hope that that is helpful. And I'm sorry, I think I'm still here. All right. All right. So Ilhan says, sounds like next question. If I want to keep busy with prospecting, it's better to keep finding new leads and reaching out to new people in a way that allows me to stick to Ed's 30-day spacing versus keeping a list of 100 leads and cycling through it every week. For me, this looks like it might mean a list of 400 people in the end. Maybe not all will end up on a hot list. So I think it's a matter of, that's true. You might not have all of them end up on your hot list. Your hot list might be smaller. But again, you want to think about relationship building. This is, how would you want to be approached? And how do you think your target market would want to be approached? I think especially if you're fairly new to doing this and the whole aspect of reaching out to people, I think you need to do what you think is right and what you think works best. But I also want you to just make sure that you're doing it in a way that's not abrasive to the recipient of your approach. And if you go through the LinkedIn training, we talk a lot about relationship building, the couple of LinkedIn trainings that are out there, not only the introduction to LinkedIn, but that's the philosophy that Ed follows, is more of, following up. And like I said, if you want to shorten that time frame a little bit for yourself, then do so. But I would do it in buckets, you know, do it in just buckets of different things. You want to mix your time to prospecting also, but you know, reaching out, being active in groups on LinkedIn that are in the industry that you're focusing on. See what's going on, reading things, researching in industry associations, maybe industry events that are coming up, that kind of thing. You want to mix and match your prospecting to the best of your ability. I started out in the beginning doing a bit of networking. You know, I was going to different events and trying to connect with people and reach out and make in-person connections as well. That can be really helpful, really, really helpful with creating good, solid relationships with the folks that that you're trying to connect with. All right. Let me see. And thanks you guys for staying active in the chat and sharing your ideas. Ilhan, you shared a link to one of Ed's podcasts about pricing. Thank you for that. And let me see, David, I do have another question from you, and I don't see that there's anyone after you, so I'll dive into that. Is there a training session for developing packages and how to properly bundle things and price accordingly? So yes, that's the one I was talking about. If you go to the Convert section under Quote to Win, how to price your work more profitably, and then how to land more work with tiered pricing. That whole Quote to Win section, all of the training in there will address what you're talking about in terms of developing packages. The one thing I can tell you about, because how to land more work with tiered pricing. So that's that packaging or tiered pricing type of an effect. One thing to think about is there's a psychological benefit to having three packages. So low, medium, and high in terms of price. And so the first package might be a real basic package. I'll give you X, Y, and Z. The middle one is that X, Y, and Z plus A and B as well. And then the top package is all of that plus additional features and services. So you know, packaging is quite literally adding on, just you're bundling things and saying, okay, well, this is the base model kind of thing. If you want to just try it, you know, try working together this way and then moving on from there. So keep it simple. Don't have 20 packages because it's going to be too overwhelming for the folks that you're approaching. And it's going to be too difficult for you to remember. One of the things that you want to be able to do is create packages that you can just feel comfortable with and that are kind of ingrained in your head. And you say, oh, well, I've, you know, three different ways I work with my clients. It's this, this, and this, right? So is there some customization? Sure, that's up to you. You can have that conversation when you're talking with a prospect about, you know, if you don't see something here that you need, tell me what makes sense. But once you get into creating packages and you get into talking with your prospects, you're going to begin to see a pattern of, oh, you know what? Most of the people I talk to want this, this, and this. They want these three things bundled together as services, as a set of services. And that's might be your best, that might be your best option or your best offer. All right. Peter, oops, sorry, my pups. Peter, thank you for sharing your thoughts there. He says that you can also take a bit more time to carefully consider what clients need. For example, one of my previous clients was really appreciative. Some unsolicited website feedback from me, even though we weren't currently doing any paid work together. So that's exactly what we're talking about with the approach. Peter, you're spot on with that suggestion. And it's a matter of not always selling, but just reaching out and saying, hey, I thought you might appreciate that, this bit of information, and sharing it in a way that's, you know, really gives you an opportunity to dig in a little bit deeper and be, really bring some value to the prospect without having that, the more, high sell sales approach. All right. Chuck has a question. No silly questions. I keep getting work in the industry I'm passionate about, which is boating. I'm going to try adding RVs to the mix. Do you think I'm making a mistake if I try to focus on those two instead of IT, which has been my real career? I think that it's, it's an interesting question because they don't go together, right? You don't really have technology. And I mean, obviously there's boating and RVs have technology, but they really are very different industries from each other. And so there's two ways to approach this. One is to just pick one of those and have it be your core focus. The other is to pick one, have it be your core focus, and maybe that's the message on your website, but to continue taking work where it comes from. And that's exactly what I do. My website and my marketing are very focused on a particular audience, but that doesn't mean that I don't work with anybody else or do anything else. I take work where I can. It might not be, you know, almost could think about that the stuff that you really enjoy, the boating and the RV industry, as supplemental. So my core business is IT. That's where I get the bulk of my, you know, maybe my work comes there. My income comes primarily, my revenue into my business comes primarily from the IT industry. But I love doing this and I do this on the side. And maybe you don't market it, or maybe it's the reverse. Maybe your website and your marketing and all of that focuses on boating and RV industry. And you do IT on the side, kind of a thing, as a supplementary or a secondary market. So it's entirely up to you which way you want to go, but that's one way to do it. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. It can be a lot of different things. Oftentimes, even though my core focus is helping people write books, I will come across someone here and there that says, oh, you know, can you help me get started with my blogs? You know, can you just give me some ideas and do some? So I'll do work that doesn't necessarily fit exactly into what my website says I do. There's no hard and fast rule there. I think for you, probably the best thing to do, Chuck, is to focus on where you're going to make the most money and where you think you can build your business the most successfully. And if boating and RVs don't have that consistency, if that industry doesn't have the consistent need, then that might not be the best place for you to, you know, focus your time. So that's you know the industries better than I do. You might consider, you know, where am I going to get my revenue, and then maybe work in towards, you know, and have the other set of industries as a secondary focus for yourself. And I hope that helped. All right. All right, Ilhan, two questions. I'm going to jump on the first one. How do you accept, receive payments from your clients? PayPal, FreshBooks, checks, other. What's the best speed, cross-border, and low fees? So I use QuickBooks Merchant Services, and I don't right now do a lot of cross-border transactions. But what you might want to think about is PayPal. That might be your best option, because most people are familiar and comfortable with PayPal. And as far as pricing is concerned, I think that you'll find that most of these services charge within reason, within a certain range, they charge more or less the same thing. So FreshBooks with the credit card payment link, I use that. I use a combination. I use QuickBooks primarily, and I use PayPal. Those are the two, depending on PayPal, not as much, but it really depends. PayPal, you can use both, and then you don't need to have, again, one or the other. I do have a couple of clients that send me checks, And that's just wonderful because there's no fees. You know, that's a nice thing to do. So if it's someone that you have an established relationship with and you know they will pay their invoices on time, then a check is a great option. But not everybody wants to do that. From a speed perspective, online payment is the best. And I think PayPal is something that universally, I'm going to say that around the world, that people are most comfortable with. All right. So Ilhan, I'm going to take your other question. And I noticed you use the term ghostwriter to describe your services on LinkedIn video. Is this a term best reserved for working directly with C-level professionals? Not necessarily. I'm a ghostwriter and I've done ghostwriting in a couple of different capacities. When I started, I was doing ghostwriting for an agency. And so in my mind, that's ghostwriting. So I was writing for several of their clients. So I had very diverse industries. I was writing for an HR and payroll service. I was writing for, I wrote a number of articles for Abbott Labs, the big pharmaceuticals company. I did that for a while. A moving company, smaller client was a moving company, and that was through an agency. So I was writing articles for their blogs on a regular basis, blogs and social media. And I consider that ghostwriting. So ghostwriting, I think, is most commonly associated with that and with books. So I spend my time now, ghostwriting is for books, for people who want to write books, but don't have the skill or desire to do it themselves. So is it have to be C-level professionals? No, I work with all different kinds of people in that regard. So it really depends on what you're ghostwriting. And it's very, very common for writers to work with people who want to become subject matter experts. And so maybe they want to do a series of articles in an industry magazine or some kind of an industry publication. Maybe they want to do a series of articles for, maybe they want to contribute to something like Forbes Online or Entrepreneur Online. Those are also considered ghostwriting. You're writing for that person and helping them to look polished and professional online. All right. Great. So Chuck, I think you have the next question. Would you advise being two different entities in that case, one focusing on IT and one focusing on boats? No, I would not. So what you could do, Ed and I are both big fans of keep it simple. Have one entity, have your primary target market be the landing page of your website, but add, if you really want to, you could add just another landing page that you could direct people to for the other industry. So for boating and RV, maybe you have a separate page on your website that just you can use that to market yourself. But it's up to you. The part that where that becomes a little bit tricky is with SEO, when you start building SEO for your website, because they're such different industries. So that would be the only place where that could get a little challenging, but there's absolutely nothing wrong with having your core focus be IT, having the bulk of your website address the IT audience, and then have a page about your work in the boating and RV industry. All right. Lots and lots of pricing questions today. And that's great. That's great. I'm going to take a quick break here from the questions. I think we've covered all the questions so far, I believe. And so I'd love to just hear from you. Type in a capital V so I know it's not a question, but what's been valuable that we've talked about so far, that either if someone else has shared something that you found helpful or something that we've discussed? Would love to hear more about what you think has been valuable. Ilhan says the idea of focusing on building relationships versus putting in the numbers with prospecting takes the pressure off somewhat, takes the pressure off a ton. And it's going to reflect in your demeanor that you're not just push and trying to connect, that you're putting more of an engagement focus. You're just looking to engage, or you're looking to connect with someone as opposed to push. And I think that recruiters are amazing, and the work that they do is amazing. Like I said, I did it for a couple of years myself, but it's a completely different philosophy and a completely different approach than what we're trying to do as business owners trying to build relationships. So I'm glad that made sense for you. Alicia, I didn't even see you come on. So glad you're here. What's been valuable for her is how to deal with two specialties by building a landing page for the second. Yeah, simple fix. And hopefully something that allows you to deal with two. I did that for a while when I first started ghostwriting and working with people on their books. I have a second page on my site that I call short form writing. And it's all blog writing, because I was still doing a fair amount of that blog writing, article writing, you know, thought leadership type things. I don't really do that much at all anymore. So that's actually a page that first of the year needs to go away and not be on my website anymore. But it's, again, you know, you're morphing, you're evolving as you build your business. So Joanne says, I love the idea of focus on the relationship and caring about how the business is working and how you can provide business solutions, not just piecework. That is, Joanne, probably the single most important thing to reaching the next level with your writing business, is to not think of yourself as an order taker and a piecework. Here's your next article. It's done. Here's your next article. It's done. And you're just kind of hanging out on the fringe, nibbling at the edges of this business. You're really kind of been welcomed inside. And I think what's interesting too is that most of the time when you take this approach, people are really appreciative of a comment, something like, geez, you know, I've seen other clients of mine deal with it this way. Thought this might be a good suggestion for you to try. You know, tackling this one particular situation, or this is how they've been using white papers, or this is how they've been using, you know, their social media with their ebook. And, you know, share your experience and your wisdom with people, and they'll be grateful. It's just they're going to want to work with you. And don't be afraid about giving ideas away. You know, some people will take the idea and run, but most of the time people stop and say, ooh, can we talk about that? can I have a conversation with you? Because that's a really interesting idea. Can we talk? So don't be afraid to pitch ideas to people as opposed to your services. And Chuck says, everything's been valuable. Yay. Love that. I love it when we can be helpful. All right. So Lucia's put a question in. I'm struggling with how to list my contact information, not ready to get another phone line, so considering using a Google phone number. But the people see your mobile number when they call them back. How do others deal with this? Good question. And I would also recommend that you post that in the Facebook group, just as a part of the main post, so that you get the feedback from all the folks there. You might get some really interesting alternatives and some interesting ideas. I have always used my cell phone as my business number. It's just always been that way, and it also happens to be my perfect personal cell phone number as well, but it's what's on my business cards. It's what I use for people to contact me. That's how I ask. So it's kind of a personal choice. But it's, and so as a result, my voicemail, if you call and you get my voicemail, I just say my name, thanks for calling, please leave a message. I don't get too in depth about, I never change my voicemail greeting or my, for my cell phone, it's always the same. You've reached the cell phone of Susan Baracco. Sorry, Mr. Call, please leave a message. And that's about it. So keeping it really simple, but it's a personal choice. But I would, Lucia, you'll probably get a lot more feedback by posting it just in the Facebook group, the main feed, to see what other people are doing. All right, unless you got, Ilhan does have some feedback for you on that. All right, anything else that's been helpful for people so far? Anything in particular that we've talked about? We still have time for other questions if you have them, so feel free. Great. Both Joanne and Lucia are saying the pricing tiers discussion was helpful and pricing resources is helpful. So good. Yeah. It's important. You know, the other thing to keep in mind in regards to your pricing is that it sends a message. And, you know, I was talking about three different packages that psychologically having a basic package, a middle ground, and then a high-end Cadillac version. That's psychologically, you're going to find that most people will go for the middle or the highest tier. That rarely you'll get people, if you're calling on the right group of people, that the low tier is just not going to be that attractive. It's kind of interesting, the lowest package. So there's a psychology to it. And it's the same thing with your prices. You want to be really careful about making sure that you price yourself in a way that you're pricing yourself to demonstrate your consulting capability. So in other words, it's reflecting your consulting capability and the ability for you to go in and talk strategy and make sure that you have a good sense of the bigger picture. That's such an important differentiator from the folks who are just cranking out pieces of content for companies, and a valuable differentiator. All right, Ilhan, question about how the 6-month coaching program works. Do we lose access to all course materials after 6 months, or just coaching support? Honestly, I am not 100% on how that works. I believe the best thing to do would be to reach out to the support team, support@b2blauncher.com, and Crystal and her team, someone will get back to you with the details on that. That's not something that I have any involvement in. All right, Joanne, do you have a way to put your focus on business goals in your USP by saying something like, I focus on business solutions? That sounds unique and not like a sales pitch. Let me see. I'm thinking here about that. It's a good question, and I think it takes a little bit of time. You know, developing a USP is no overnight task. Wouldn't it be lovely if it was that easy? It takes time, and you have to do a lot of different versions to come up with a USP. And I don't know if it's as necessary in your USP to talk about focusing on business solutions. Joanne just typed in, I really struggle with USPs. It's tough to find. It takes time to come up with your core message and then refine it and break it down to something that's concise, that's short, reasonably memorable. That's what I mean. It's not an overnight task. This is something that we really need to take time with. What I would do, Joanne, is you might go do a little bit of research, and the best thing to look at would be competitors. go and Google some writers in your same target market and see how they're presenting themselves. You might get some good ideas. And just to get a sense of how other people are talking about themselves, how they're presenting themselves. What I love about that is that you can, not only will you find things that you like, you're going to find things that you don't like. And when it comes to your USP and even your web copy, you're going to see things and go, ooh, no, that's not the way I want to present myself. I want a different message going out there. So I would recommend you do a little bit of research to see how other writers are describing themselves and presenting themselves. Scroll through things like their Why Me page, maybe frequently asked questions, maybe look if they have something like that on their website, or look through their blog. Just scroll through, skim the blog a little bit, see how they're talking about themselves or how they're talking about what they do. I think it'll give you a better idea of what's, you know, what the industry is, you know, how the industry is responding to. You might be able to get a sense of who's successful and what they're being successful with. And I'd also take a look, you know, don't hesitate to go and search through Ed's blog. He's got a lot of articles, podcasts, all kinds of amazing guests, amazing information there. Don't hesitate to use that as a resource too. Lucia's got the next question. I've had a call from a recruiter who deals with contractors and she wants to meet. I have some misgivings. If you work for a company through them, the company has to pay their fee for posterity. I would like to meet her in case I have a dry spell or lose my current freelance gig. So two things. Yes, I agree. It's worth having a conversation to get the details and have that as a backup if for some reason. I looked at a few of those companies myself years ago. And, I didn't get into freelancing to work for somebody else this way. I really want to be able to have the control. But one thing that I'd be careful about, Lucia, is if you have a freelance gig right now, don't put all your eggs in one basket. And you've probably heard this before, but you should be putting your feelers out, continuing to connect with people and prospecting. Even though you have a really solid arrangement right now. And congratulations on that. That's amazing. But it's incredible. I have had a pretty solid, I had one client that I worked with for 2 years. And I was so busy with them that I really didn't have much time for anything else. But the good news was that they had me on a 2-year project and I knew at the end, you know, towards the end, about 6 months in, yep, we're wrapping this up. Once you're done with the work you have on your plate, you're going to be done. And it gave me enough time to respond and to really market myself, build up other clients and sources of revenue. So you want to always be mindful of that. Really, really mindful of that. It's also important to have that conversation with that one client, is especially, again, timing is perfect. 2019 is coming to a close. Having a meeting to have a conversation, and don't do it by email. Definitely want to have at least a phone conversation to say, what does 2020 look like? I'm planning my strategy for 2020 and I'm planning my schedule. I want to make sure that I understand what your needs are going to be in the new year. And do you see any major changes? Do you see me doing more, doing less? Whatever the case, tell me now. So don't hesitate or avoid managing that client properly, because you don't need any surprises. You really, really don't. Nothing is worse than suddenly getting an email saying, well, you know, you're done at the end of the month and now you're scrambling to try and replace that income. So you really don't want to do that. Have meaningful conversations about what they're planning, you know, what they see at least the first 2 quarters, tell me, you know, the first half of the year is, you know, what's going to be changing? Do you have any new initiatives I need to know about? Be that strategist and be that consultant. Really important. All right, Ilhan, another question. How would you include the idea that you are a valuable consultant who writes on your website? Add consulting services to your service page, or describe this value add in the section on the why me? So both of those, Ilhan, I think are excellent ideas. Maybe weave that in to your why me page in terms of your consulting. And I would phrase it more in any kind of language that your audience, your target market is comfortable with. So if they look at you as a partner, use the word partner. If they are accustomed to and comfortable with consultant or strategic partner or some phrase that works for that industry, that is the best way to do it. But also to add it to your, and I believe that Ed's, I want to say that Ed's fee agreement has, I think his fee schedule has a line item for strategy and consulting, I believe. So you definitely want to add that and explain just briefly what that means. And I would put something in there along the lines of strategy and consulting, partnering with you to develop an overall marketing strategy that works, you know, that you're, because that's what really what you're doing is I want to understand everything I can about your marketing so that my writing isn't out in a bubble somewhere, right? I want to make sure that I'm writing something that, that makes sense, that fits with your overall core goals for your marketing. I mean, obviously we, companies market because they want more business, but is there a message? Is there messaging? Is there a voice or a, an approach that they want to really establish for themselves? It's going to be very important for you to know those things. So that would be probably the best way to do it is on those two pages, I think would make a lot of sense. And just drip it. You know, we're not, you know, you don't want to go overboard with, oh, I'm this amazing consultant. It's just, it fits with everything. And as you start to develop packages, you want strategy to be part of that package. So it's definitely like the second and third tier, you know, as you start to build, strategy should be a part of your packages automatically. Yeah. All right. I'm just looking at the chat box. Hey, Greg. So you have an email for two different programs. The yesterday's call was at 3 p.m. and that was the Academy call. And I ran that yesterday at 3 o'clock. Today's call is for the Accelerator group. And I'm not quite sure why you got that, but the Accelerator calls are always at 1 p.m. On and usually on Wednesdays. So not too late for a question. We usually go between an hour to an hour and a half. So yeah, go ahead and fire away. And let me just make sure that I didn't miss anybody while you're doing that. Oh, sorry. Yeah, Ilhan. Sorry, I'm just looking at that. It must have it must have been the email that they sent out to you guys. They did it. They put 3 p.m. Sorry about that. All right. All right. So your question regarding LinkedIn contacts who don't list their work email address, is it better to warm email via LinkedIn message or by note to their personal email address listed? And hi there, Greg. Glad you were able to jump on with us today. All right. So, you know, you could do either or, Greg. There's also, let me just see, and I don't know if it's in here. There are tools for finding people's email addresses, business email addresses. And I'm looking through the list here of things that, and I'm not sure if anybody has that, but there are tools so that if you really wanted to chase down their business address. You could, and so there's some softwares online. There used to be a couple that worked with LinkedIn, believe it or not. They were Google add-ons or plug-in type of a thing that you would use with Google Chrome. And when you're in LinkedIn, it would search the database and find their business email address. I'm not sure if LinkedIn kind of kicked all them off. not sure how that works, but anyway, there are other tools outside of LinkedIn that you can use to help you research business email addresses. But using LinkedIn messaging is still okay. A personal email address, it's not a great option, but it's an option. I would almost use that as a last resort. But LinkedIn messaging is fine. But I know that also we have some limitations in terms of how many in-mails you can send. So that would be the only downside to that. All right. David is next up with a question. He says, I write blog posts for my business website as a form of SEO and marketing. I have an editor who reviews these posts and gives me feedback before I publish. Common issue I have is when I write a post, I tend to go into detail about a potential solution or tip. My editor always requests that I be brief and save the additional content about the tip for a separate blog. I recently wrote an article on how to write a fitness article that engages prospective clients. One of my tips was using hook sentences, listed 6 types of hooks. My editor suggested removing the list of types of sentences and save it as a separate blog post. I feel like a reader wants to know the information in that post without clicking off the page. My editor recommends saving extra information as a standalone content. Is there a best practice? I know what she's doing is great for SEO, but is it good for readership? So what you might want to do is start breaking things down into series for yourself, David. I think the best way to kind of break this up is to say 3 must-do steps for writing articles. Let me see, that engage prospective clients. And then each one of those steps. And so you're sprinkling that SEO. You're saying, all right, so in the first one, it's just introducing the concept and why. You know, what have you seen go horribly wrong? And, you know, obviously people have, you know, really made a mess of things. They don't get the results that they want. So talking a little bit about framing up the situation. And then in my next, article, I'll talk more about step one. And then you go into, you know, 3 must-do steps or however you want to word it. You could even do a summary as the lead. So let's say that you've got 3 steps. Your first article is frame up the situation. Here's why I'm writing this article, because I see this problem over and over again in the fitness industry, blah, blah, blah. So then you summarize each step. Step 1, do this. Step 2, do that. Step 3, do this. And it's brief. Stay tuned as I drill down into each one of these steps in more detail. And so then the second article is, here's step 1 in full review. Here's step 2 in full review. So you're just kind of rearranging a little bit and spreading out. But I agree, because if it's too technical or too in-depth, it might be too much for people who are not writers, right? And if you're writing for the fitness industry, let's say, or something like that, you're going to have people who are not going to understand the value. Well, you know, the most important thing is to say, here's some suggestions, but then here's how you implement them. You know, here's what it looks like, and using this word in a sentence kind of thing. So you're explaining, here's how it looks in practice. And that way you're kind of splitting the difference with your editor, where, you know, you're spreading out the topic for SEO, but you're also giving people a good, easy read. And have some fun with it. You know, the one thing I would strongly recommend is that all of your articles be a little bit lighthearted. Have a little bit of fun, joke around a little bit. Don't be super heavy-handed in your writing. Have it that way, it'll be more natural. And that might help too with the way that you're writing. So envision that you're sitting across the table having coffee with a friend and they're struggling, and so you're explaining to them how they would tackle this. All right. Let me just take a look here. Lucia, you're up next. We've got a couple of questions. I'm going to try and get through all of these, but this, if you have any more questions after this, we're winding down here. So I'm hoping I can get through all of these. If I don't get to a question, or if you have one and you can't, we're kind of closing up here our call, feel free to post it on Facebook for both Ed and I to take a look at. So, Lucia, recently I had an inquiry from someone who's a friend of my husband. She self-published a book of short stories, really vignettes, and it's terrible. Love it. Oh my gosh. Let's see. There are like ideas for stories that she hasn't developed, and many, many not even have what it takes to be a short story. It's a semi-memoir. Oh gosh. My instinct is to just say no. I don't want to offend her, and everyone has told her that it's okay. Yeah, that's, oh gosh, such a book thing. She thinks the problem is it needs editing, but that's not what I think. I'm not a writing teacher, but I kind of like doing it. I've edited memoirs 4 or 5 times. Do you think it's worth considering a pricing strategy, or should I just refer to a writer's group? You could do a couple of different things. You could refer her to another editor if you wanted. I've dealt with this a number of times, and if it's someone who you want to preserve the relationship, sometimes it would be best to just refer her to another resource if it's important to you, because everyone comes to me, and I've edited many, many books of all different kinds, fiction, nonfiction, memoirs, all kinds of good stuff, and they send me the manuscripts swaddled in a warm fuzzy blanket because it's their baby, and oh, here, take a look, oh, it's so good, yeah, and then you read it and you think, okay, I just read that one sentence 3 times and I still don't know what she's talking about. I go through this all the time with people who've written books. It's very, very common, and it's too bad because they pour their heart and soul into it, but they're not writers, and that's okay. But what I would recommend for you is to think about, can you communicate to that to her effectively without upsetting her? You know, just saying, look, I think your concept is great. I think it needs a lot of polishing. And I use the word polishing a lot because it's not a word that's too upsetting. We want to polish the daylight out of this. And the other thing that I do when I talk about the editing that I do is developmental editing. So I'm not going to correct your punctuation and grammar and all that. So someone else will do that. But what I look for is to I do developmental editing, which is that next level up where I'm going to help you. Oops, hold on. I am going to help you with the concept. So I look for gaps in your writing. I look for places where we can put more meat on the bone, where we can really flesh out this idea and really bring this to life, places where we can add more stories. If you think that you can have that conversation with her and get her excited about that type of a relationship, I'm going to be really honest. I'm going to be candid with my feedback because I want to make this the best book we possibly can. And that's the way I frame it up with my clients. That's my standard go-to. And whether you're writing, helping someone with a blog article or with a full-length book, you want to say kind of the same thing. It's just, this can be great, but it needs some attention. And so here's what I'm going to be focused on. And I always tell people, I get their permission to criticize them. So I always say, you know, I'm going to be really candid and I'm going to tell you where I think it needs some work. And if you're okay with that, then let's work together. If you're not comfortable with that kind of feedback coming from me, then maybe I can recommend another person for you to work with. So, you know, this is such a personal, choice for you, Lucia, I think, especially where it's a, you know, friend of someone. A writer's group isn't necessarily going to help her with what she needs based on what you've described here in the chat. I think she really needs to work very much one-on-one with an editor. But all of that being said, the question is, what does she want to do with the book? What does she want it to do for her? That's always the first question before we even talk about a manuscript, who's going to write it, how, any of that stuff is, what do you want this book to do? What is it going to do for you when it's, once it's published, you have it in your hand, now what? what do you want done, and then decide, is it worth the investment and of time, money, and effort to get it to where it needs to be. So I hope that helps. Kind of a long explanation. All right, Joanne, you're up next. If I want to market myself as a copy editor, do you have suggestions for putting that on my website? Yep, I do. I think make sure that you are clear in your understanding of what a copy editor does and how they do it, and then I would simply put that on your website. What I find when it comes to editing is people have no idea that there are different kinds of editors, and there are many different kinds of editors, actually, and that they do different things. Like a line editor does something slightly different than a copy editor. A developmental editor doesn't do anything like what a copy or a line editor does. A proofreader doesn't do any of the above. We've got a lot of different people who help to polish content, and so they all do something different. Some overlap, yes, but they all basically do something different. So the best way, I think, for you, Joanne, would be to explain what a copywriter does in the industry that you're focused on and how you help. What are the benefits? You know, you want to make sure that, hey, you know, the reason that you'd work with me as a copy editor is because you want your work to do this and that and the next thing. You want that content to shine. You want it to, you know, just really represent you, something that you can be proud of, blah, 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 blah. On and on. So hopefully you get the idea. Create an explanation so that people come, and because I don't want someone come to me saying, will you line edit my book? No, the answer is no. And I would like you to get that from my website so that you're not contacting me to say, will you line edit my book or my, even my ebook or my white paper? No, I don't do that. It's not work that I'm very good at. So I can do it, but I'm not good at it, and I really don't enjoy it. So I can refer you to someone else. So that's, I think, the approach that you could take, Joanne, with adding that to your website. Hopefully that was helpful. All right. Ilhan, question. When you connect with people on LinkedIn, as described in the LinkedIn for Freelance Professionals, and they accept and you close the loop with a friendly message, do you ever follow up? Yes. Or with these LinkedIn leads, you simply leave it at that. More broadly, how do you mix in connecting on LinkedIn with your prospecting outreach? So it works intimately together. So you're absolutely correct. What you then do is take your... what do I want to say? So you kind of weave them into your warm email prospecting. So, and you can do warm email prospecting in both places, via email and also via LinkedIn. So it really depends on where they tend to be most responsive. If they're responding to you on LinkedIn, then maybe stay there with it. The goal would be to connect with them on LinkedIn so that then they know who you are. Now, all of a sudden, an email from you, straight email, is a warm email as opposed to a cold email. So that's part of what makes that transition from, okay, here's a target, a person that I really want to work for. I want to do some writing for them. I connect with them on LinkedIn. Now they know they've accepted my invite. Maybe I've thanked them and I've sent them something, you know, some good information that's helpful. Now I go and I jump on my email. And I follow up with them, and now all of a sudden it's a warm email, because you could even say, hey, thanks again for connecting with me on LinkedIn. I just wanted to send this over to you because I think you find it helpful. So LinkedIn and your warm email work intricately together. Absolutely. And it can be one way or the other. But I think that starting out with an email and then asking, and Ed talks a lot about 9-word emails, but asking about, should we set time to talk, is definitely something to add into your warm email prospecting. Is, you know, thanks again. If you have questions about this, or instead of saying, if you have questions, call me, say, you know, this is a great article. I'd love to spend, some time talking with you. I'd love to learn more about what your, you know, your marketing plans are for 2020 or something like that. And Lucia, sure. If you think that makes sense, feel free to. And you can find me on LinkedIn easily. So feel free to connect her to me through LinkedIn, or just you can even, my website is storyarchitectforwomen.com. If you want to send her my way, she can check out my website. Thank you. Thank you for that. All right. Whew. Lots and lots of good stuff today. What an active group. Woo. I love it. My goodness. It's great when there's lots of interaction. It's great when you folks are very generous on the chat, really sharing your own insights and your own resources with each other. That's just brings so much more value to the call than me just trying to figure out how to answer your questions. I love it when other people jump in and contribute. It's a great group. Many of you have experience that you want to bring and you should share with others. And same thing, I want this to kind of transfer over to Facebook as well. Don't hesitate to jump on Facebook and help each other out. That's what the community is all about. All right, we have just a few minutes left, and I'd love to hear what your top action item is for, gosh, we're coming up on a holiday here in the U.S. What's going to happen for you between now and the end of the month, or maybe between now and the end of the year? And it doesn't have to be something we talked about today. It is really something that that you're just working on, that you want to finish, or you want to start, or whatever it is. But let me know what you're going to be focused on between now and the end of the year. All right, Greg says, rework my web copy. Yay! Glad you found that helpful. Elan says, start applying warm email prospecting and the 3-2-1 LinkedIn prospecting as a habit. Great. 3-2-1, such a fun, that was a fun training for us to do. And I think a really great way to think about approaching people. I think you'll have a lot of success looking to help people first. Chuck's the same as Greg, work in the website copy. Great. David, finding a reliable freelance writer to outsource some of my work to. David, don't forget, congratulations for having that kind of a demand. That's really awesome. Don't hesitate to post in the Facebook group. There's a lot of reliable freelance writers in the Facebook group that might have some bandwidth to support you. Lucia, still working on the website, writing samples, LinkedIn profile update, business cards, and marketing plan. You're going to be a busy woman. And don't forget to use whatever you develop for your website. LinkedIn should be, your profile should be a mini website of you. So whatever messaging you use on your website that you're happy with, and primarily on your landing page, anything that's on your homepage or landing page, transfer that onto LinkedIn and tweak it a little bit, but it should be the same so that no matter what platform your prospects and your visitors are looking at you, no matter where they're looking at you, whether it's Facebook, LinkedIn, wherever, or your website, that the message is the same, the branding is the same. Chuck says, reviewing pricing strategies so I can get more confidence about prospecting. Absolutely. Yeah, having your pricing worked out and just, it really is a confidence booster. I find the same thing. I know exactly what I'm going to talk about. I know why. I can explain it. You just feel comfortable. And if it's in a package format, you can get excited about it because you're thinking, oh, so I'm not just going to write an article for you. I'm really going to help you. You know, this packaging really is designed to make your life easier and to really make you look great in the world, right? We want to help our clients reach their goals and to look really good in front of their customers. That's our goal. All right. Hey, well, fantastic call today. Thank you all again for being here, for your participation. Don't hesitate to be very active on Facebook. Ed and I love it when people are speaking up and sharing ideas and resources. It's terrific. So don't hesitate to do that. I want to wish those of you here in the U.S. a fabulous Thanksgiving holiday coming up next week. I won't talk to you guys until after, but have a good couple of weeks, and I will see you guys on Facebook. So take care.